What do we do in seasons that are so painful and heavy that it's wordless? The valleys in our lives when we are wrapped with grief and we have no strength to muster. This week, Heidi Min shares with us a candid and vulnerable snapshot on what she does in seasons when she finds herself without words and without strength. How do we bring ourselves before God if that's the last thing we want to do? In her story, we find this beautiful truth that God embraces us in these seasons, that He isn't overwhelmed by us, and instead He draws near to us in our brokenness, in our anger, and in our weakness. I think this is what's so beautiful about this season of Lent. It's being honest of our weakness and our brokenness, and being met by a gracious and close and holy God. If you aren't familiar with who Heidi Min is, she's our creative director here at Echo. You've likely seen her work like fingerprints all over our church. She's the artist behind the brand, the slides, the designs, events, but she's also the heart behind our women's ministry, our events teams, our photo team. So let's listen.
There's a verse that I've memorized since high school when I gave my life to the Lord. It's a verse that as soon as I read it for the first time, I knew this is going to be my verse that I return to time and time again. I just knew in my spirit that God wrote this verse especially for me, and still till this day, I find myself reciting it, meditating on it, and finding peace each time. Philippians 4:6-7 reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There were many times in my life when I was faced with hardships that were too overwhelming for me to handle. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and we caught it too late. She deteriorated quickly, even after trying all the chemo and radiation options, but only to find herself in hospice care less than a year of fighting the cancer. She passed in June of 2016, and not a day goes by where I don't think of her. It was a very dark season in my life, and I had nothing left in me to fight, to hope, to feel, or to do anything other than just curl up in a ball and want to melt away from life. A few years later, my grandmother, who helped raise my sister and I, also passed, and yet again, we had to deal with another loss in the family as we were barely recovering from my mom's passing. Then COVID hit, and we lost our beloved member, Angela, someone who was like a little sister to me, and I didn't have any words. I couldn't pray, I couldn't worship. No, let me rephrase that. I didn't want to pray and I didn't want to worship. Nothing in me wanted to go back to my Philippians verse. It no longer carried any weight or fighting power for me. I know some people advise that when you feel distant from God, you're supposed to pray more and listen to more worship songs and read more scripture. But what if all those things don't work? What if the loss of a loved one and a death in your life, figuratively or literally, is just too much, and drawing near to God is too hard and a daily struggle? What I'm about to share with you today is just something that I found worked for me during those times, and I pray that it helps guide anyone who is experiencing that distance from God today. First, I walk. I take lots and lots of walks with God. I even have a route near my house along the beach that I mapped out during my difficult season. I love my walks with Him. I love that time of shutting off everything around me and just tuning into God's frequency. I needed to get out of my head and allow my body to move and be in a space that allowed me to breathe so that God can slowly seep in. What does that space look like for you? Take a minute to scan what that space currently looks like for you, and if you don't have one, imagine what it could look like. curate a space that works for your lifestyle. Whether it's in the corner of your bedroom with that armchair you finally invested in, or your walks with your kids to the neighborhood park, or your short drive to the market. For me, it's my 3-mile walk along the ocean leading to the boat docked on the marina by the Queen Mary. My hope for you is that you make time and space for some alone time with God. It's in those moments that your heart begins to soften and you lean a little closer towards Him. I also journal. I write letters to God as if He's my dearest pen pal from childhood that knows my every secret, desire, and dreams. I write to Him candidly and openly about every emotion I'm holding, good and bad. I play the Echo Benediction playlist on Spotify, and all of a sudden, the words just come. Sometimes it's a short entry, and sometimes I have a lot to say to Him, and sometimes it's not words at all and just sketches. Either way, I find that being able to write or draw the words or images of my internal thoughts helps me process and unlock what I'm truly feeling and holding on to. Then God speaks to me and whispers and nudges, and with each sentence and drawing, He begins to heal and restore. When was the last time you journaled your inner thoughts on paper or drew something that inspired you? God speaks through all of that. He speaks and draws near to you through your writing, your painting, your dancing, your musical instruments, your running, your pottery, your fill in the blank. I found that this simple exercise helped me to calm my inner turmoil and align myself a little closer to God. It doesn't have to look or sound perfect, just honest. The best part is reading back what you just wrote, and you're no longer just internalizing your thoughts, but you actually practice proclaiming truths out loud over a situation and rebuking the negative discouragements that pull us further from hearing from our Lord. It's yet another step in the right direction, and slowly you move past the threshold that seemed impossible to surpass. Psalm 43 says, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." Lastly, I surround myself with those that point me to Christ. When I'm too weak and don't have the desire to draw near to God, I draw near to people who are near to God. I know who my safe pelotons are. I know who I need to initiate a coffee, dinner, or an appointment with to remind myself that I'm not alone and that I have a community who will always carry me when I'm too weak to carry anything on my own. I've also learned over the years the importance of talking to a therapist or spiritual director, someone who can guide me in ways friends and family can't. Who is that group or person for you? Who can you turn to in times of weakness and apathy? Write their names down and take the initiative to connect with them. Share with them that you are feeling distant from the Lord and ask for their prayers. Ask for their support and accountability to make sure you carve out scheduled times to check in with one another and pray for one another. During the pandemic, when I was struggling with depression and apathy, I was so thankful for the hangouts that my friend Kathy and I scheduled every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, my Google Calendar would alert me, and we would either meet up and go for a hike or grab some coffee or dinner and just check in with each other and keep each other tethered to the things that were true and good, but also feeling safe to process and be broken. It was a small step, but the consistency of our hangouts helped me feel a little more connected to God through our time together. Ironically enough, one thing I was certain of during my darkest times was that I did not want to lose my relationship with God. Yes, I was mad at Him and not in a good place, but I knew fighting for my faith and upkeeping that bond with God was something I didn't want to compromise. I wanted my soul to heal, and I also didn't want to view God as some ethereal abstraction in my times of adversity. I think that was an important first step and realization for me, asking myself, how important is my faith and love for God? Am I willing to just give it up and forget all the times I called him Redeemer, the Good Shepherd, Deliverer, Prince of Peace, the Resurrection and the Life, and whatever other name I called out to him? My long-winded answer, filled with all the reasons why I'm sad and depressed, disappointed and angry, apathetic and numb, all ended with a simple no. No, I wasn't going to give that up. Adversity doesn't always need to lead to us questioning our relationship with Christ. Both can coexist, and there is so much grace from our Father that allows us to fully experience the ebb and flow of our emotions. Basically, it's okay to feel extreme polar emotions towards God at the same time. I feel like somebody really needed to hear that. He knows your pain and struggles. He also will not relent and continue to hold on and never allow us to walk alone. I was finally getting to a place of beginning to heal from my mom's passing and the news of Angela, someone so close to me, taken in the most unexpected way, was just too much for me to handle, and I needed a time out from God. But God had other plans for me. God's love is steadfast. He's always there as our refuge, and there is nothing too big that will deter his pursuit after us, no matter how hard we push and run away. The sooner I remembered and believed again in that simple truth, the sooner I was able to slowly pick up the pieces and retrace my steps back to him. It takes work, and it's not always easy, but once I start taking that first step towards him, I know I'm at least headed in a safe direction. My heart then slowly begins to feel grateful for the little things, and I realize that I still have so much to be thankful for, and God begins my healing process. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good Father. You always have been, and you continue to be. Forgive us for often forgetting how deep your love for us is. Forgive us for only seeing our pain and forgetting that you have conquered sin and death, and that you have called me by name and I am yours. May we all find our special space and walk with you, write to you, and seek you through the community that we're already in covenant with. Help us to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our request to you. And your peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.